Now, as the weather warms up, you might be thinking it's a great time to get outside and enjoy the great outdoors in Wisconsin.
One roadblock for a lot of people might be the bugs and insects, the diseases they carry in particular. 2 years ago, entomologist Susan Paskowitz only found 32 immature deer ticks when doing research in the UW Arboretum in Madison. A year later, 592 of those immature deer ticks.
She joins us now to talk about her research about ticks in Wisconsin and her work to reduce tick populations. Susan Paskowitz is professor and chair of the Department of Entomology at UW-Madison. Susan, welcome to Central Time.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity.
So just those numbers there, kind of staggering. 32 immature deer ticks 2 years ago, a year later, 592 immature deer ticks. Do we know why there seems to be a boom in the tick population in Wisconsin?
We were a little startled by those numbers, but in this case, the Madison area is a newly invaded site for the state. So deer ticks here started up in the northwestern part of the state, and then slowly over the last 40, 50 years have really moved into new areas. And Madison is one of those areas, along with places like Milwaukee and the southeastern part of the state. And so when I first moved here in the early 1990s, I would go looking around the city to try to find a place to work in my own backyard, and I couldn't find them. They really weren't here. And then about 5 years ago, in 2010, one of my colleagues was doing some work in the Arb, and she was trapping some rodents. She found one deer tick on one rodent. We went back the next year. We found a few more, and then since then, we've been monitoring it steadily. So it started kind of low during the invasion. I think what we saw last year was that inflection point where it went from newly invaded to kind of fully invaded.
Yeah, I think ticks are, everyone agrees, they're kind of a drag if you get them. You have to go through an ordeal to pull them off. But more than that, I mean, ticks carry Lyme disease, which is something we worry about. So does that mean we're also seeing a boom in tick-borne diseases like Lyme disease?
You know, we have seen a steady increase in the number of people in Wisconsin who get infected. When I first got here in the early 1990s, it was usually about 400 to 500 cases that were reported to the state each year. Last year, I think it was well over 3,500. And according to CDC, who's done some studies of this, this is probably about a tenfold underestimate. So
wow.
It's a lot more likely, 30, 36,000 people getting infected with Lyme every year. So, you know, we've seen this steady increase, and I think it really reflects probably a couple of things. One is there are more ticks, and there are more ticks in more places. So they're now in parts of the state where you never used to see them. And then in a number of those places where we've been following them, and as well as some of our colleagues, the infection rates, the number of ticks that are actually infected with Lyme disease has been going up.
Well, so you've got Lyme disease, and those numbers are alarming to begin with, but it sounds like ticks also carry some other diseases, too. Is that right?
That is. Actually, in Wisconsin, I think we now know of 5 or 6 different pathogenic microorganisms that can make people sick. Most of them are really rare, and most people are never going to encounter them, or if they do, they're not even going to get sick. There is one other pathogen, though, besides Lyme, that is becoming more common, and it's called human anaplasmosis, or anaplasma is the name of the bacteria that makes you sick. And we're beginning to see, kind of like when I first got here, we have about 500 cases now of anaplasmosis, and Wisconsin and Minnesota are real hot spots for that disease, where Lyme, you also see a lot of it on the East Coast. You don't see so much anaplasma there. There's something interesting about our state and the upper Midwest in relation to that pathogen.
So if you want to get outside, and of course after a long winter in Wisconsin, everybody wants to get outside, what can you do to reduce the chances that you'll be bitten by a tick?
That's a great question. So, you know, you've got a couple of things to worry about. One is that if you're going out just recreationally, you're going to be in beautiful wooded areas, hopefully hiking and doing other things out there. You want to, as much as possible, stay in the middle of the hard-packed trails because usually, you know, where there's a lot of traffic, a lot of walking on a wide trail in the center is not where we would tend to find ticks when we go out looking for them. They're going to be a lot more abundant kind of off to the side in the vegetation where the leaf litter is a little thicker and provides them with the level of humidity that they need. They actually turn out to be extremely sensitive to drying out. And so nice, very humid conditions like you get out in the woods is where they tend to thrive. So staying in the middle of the trail, that's one thing you can do that will definitely help. Another thing that we recommend is that people think about using a repellent. We actually do a couple of things. We use a repellent that would be the same thing that we would use for mosquitoes. But then we also spray our clothing, our socks and our shoes with something called permethrin, which you can buy at most department stores. And you put that on your clothes, you let it dry, and then it kind of serves as a repellent for the tick and also protects you because the tick will walk up your pants, get exposed to this chemical, and it will kill it before it can transmit the Lyme disease to you.
It's called permethrin. Is that something that's sold, you know, among the regular bug repellents that you find? Or
yes,
is this something...
it is, actually. It is. So you can go into pretty much any department store and they'll have it there.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what you're doing to reduce tick populations, because with this boom, that's something we're taking stock of now as well. We'll keep going talking about that with entomologist Susan Paskowitz, talking about her research on tick populations in Wisconsin and, of course, how to reduce those numbers. We'll continue that conversation in just a few minutes.
And you can find more info at the Central Time Facebook page. And while you're there, let us know if you've encountered ticks already this season. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing our conversation with entomologist Susan Paskowitz about her research on ticks in Wisconsin. The bad news, they seem to be booming. We're looking at increased numbers in areas of the state where they weren't found so much before, areas, for instance, like southern Wisconsin. And Susan, you're doing some work to reduce tick populations because, as we said, they are booming some areas. What sorts of things are you doing to try to cut down on those numbers?
Yeah, so a minute ago we were talking about what people can do when they're recreating, when they're out walking on trails. But we were also worried about what people could do in their own backyards because as the ticks become more abundant, more and more people are being exposed right around their homes, especially people who are living in wooded areas. And so a couple of things we're trying. One is playing on that idea that the ticks really require a lot of high humidity to be healthy, to stay healthy. And to reduce that, what we've been doing is reducing an invasive species called buckthorn, which in our studies has shown a really tight relationship with the higher populations of the tick. So we've been removing that from a number of different half-acre plots and then seeing the impacts. And then the second thing that we're doing is actually targeting a species of mouse called the white-footed mouse. The white-footed mouse is a great host for the immature stages of the ticks, and it's also the major source where they get infected by the Lyme disease pathogen. And the way we target the mice is we give them a nest material, cotton balls basically, that have been sprayed, again, with that permethrin that I was recommending people think about treating their clothing with. So we spray the cotton balls, we put them out in these little tubes all around these half-acre simulated yards, and then the mice come out at night, they take the cotton balls back, they make their nests out of it, and then every time they go down into the burrow, down into the nest, they get a treatment of the permethrin onto their fur. And what that does is any tick then that attaches to that mouse gets the permethrin treatment, which kills the tick, prevents the tick from becoming infected with the pathogen, prevents the tick from infecting the mouse with the pathogen, and really very significantly in our study here at least is reducing both the number of ticks and the number of infected ticks that are in those environments.
That's so interesting. So does the permethrin that you're talking about, do you know anything about whether it poses any health risks to the mice and by extension maybe to people who would want to use it?
Right. Super good question. So, you know, this is the same idea that you can spray it on your clothes, and as long as you allow it to dry, you don't want to put it on your skin, right? But if you put it on your clothes and allow it to dry, it doesn't have any negative health impacts. It's actually something that the military uses in uniforms for soldiers to prevent them from being exposed to ticks while they're on maneuver. So it's a safe and well-tested compound. And actually, you can buy clothing where somebody's already done this for you if you just go online and look for it.
Of course, it's going to be summertime. A lot of people are going to be wearing shorts, so they might have those thick boots on, but then have, you know, bare legs after that. Is that something that, you know, if you put it on your your boots, it will stop the ticks there?
You can put it on your boots, and a lot of times they are getting on low to the ground, but there are some that are going to be a little higher up, and so it's not going to be as effective as if you put it on all your clothes and wear the long pants. I would recommend in that case that people go back and do a very careful tick check when they get home. Also, get in the shower, get a scrubby, and kind of really rub your body down and make sure that you're being as careful as you can to try to remove them early. And then watch for those symptoms and make sure you get to your doctor right away if you should have any of those symptoms.
Well, Susan, with the numbers of ticks that you're talking about and the numbers of incidents of Lyme disease in Wisconsin these days, I mean, are we to the point where parents should think about going camping, think twice about going camping where people are going to be lying on the ground in a tent and things like that? Is it that serious a health risk, or is this something where, well, no, we should still get out there, but you should just really take precautions?
Oh, I would agree with the latter. I think everybody should be out in the woods as much as they can. It's good for you. It's good for your soul. You really need to have that experience, but you also need to be alert and aware of the potential risks and making sure that you are checking your children carefully and that you are setting up your tent in an area where maybe it's a little more open, a little more sunny, and so that the tick risk is going to be a lot lower.
What about pets? Because I imagine a tick could hop onto a pet and come back and jump in your lap, and then boom, you got a tick bite. So how should we handle that?
Yes, you do want to protect your animals because, of course, they can get disease as well as be a source of the ticks actually transferring from them, as you say, onto your lap or onto your body. And so there are some really good treatments that you can get from your vet. They're spot on. An example that I use for my little dog is a compound called Frontline, and you just put a little bit of a drop of this down the back of the animal, and they're protected. Again, it's kind of the same way. You put this on the animal, the ticks get on. They don't die, like, instantly, but they die before they can transmit pathogens. So it helps to protect both their health and the owner's health.
And you mentioned buckthorn as one of the things that you're working on to reduce tick populations, an invasive species that makes it moister so ticks are happier. They like it when it's a little moist. Is that something that people should be thinking about in their own backyards, trying to make it less tick hospitable?
Yes, and there are a lot of really good ways that you can do that. One is, you know, the areas where you're going to be spending most of your time, again, that kind of open, sunny, grassy area, those are not places that these ticks really like. So that's where you want to have your barbecue and your play set for the kids. And then if you do have, you know, ornamental plantings, or if you've got places where there is a lot of leaf litter and more vegetation, again, if you're going to have paths and going through that, keep those wider. You can also contact pest control operators, and they're able to use some real low-impact, low-volume pesticides in those perimeter areas that would help to keep the ticks from getting into the yard. Another thing you ought to be thinking about is not trying to attract animals right into your yard, especially deer, or having places where the mice could harbor. Those are other spots where you may want to consider having some treatment done.
And Susan, just super briefly as we wrap up here, where can people go for more information about ticks in Wisconsin?
So I have a website, and if they just would Google Wisconsin ticks, they will find out pretty much everything they want to know about ticks and tick-borne disease in our state.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us and telling us what to do about these ticks.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was Susan Paskowitz, professor and chair of the Department of Entomology at UW-Madison, and she joined us to talk about her research on tick populations in Wisconsin as the weather gets warmer and more people are spending time outdoors.
And you can find more information, as our guest mentioned. We've got a link on the Central Time Facebook page. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a gastroenterologist about common reasons people experience bloating and some possible solutions.
Don't forget, it's our spring membership drive. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're listening to Central Time.